John chapter 20, verses 19 to 23. If you have your pew Bibles or chair Bibles, John chapter 20, verses 19 to 23. Can someone just reassure me I don't have chocolate around my mouth before I start? That would just be really embarrassing. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The cross is the crux, the pivot around which the whole of history turns. And Christ is the most important figure in the whole of time, past, present, and future. And many of the Old Testament books point towards him, and he is the central message of all 27 of the New Testament books. And he's very much alive. Abraham Kuyper, who was a Dutch politician and a theologian, he said, "There is not one square inch of the entire creation about which Jesus Christ does not say, 'This is mine. This belongs to me.'" You see, there is no height too high for him and no depth too low for him. And so there's not one person here today, not one person who is beyond the reach of his love, his forgiveness, and his healing. The cross has made all of this possible. The wondrous cross. And this morning we've already sung about the early morning of that first Easter day when the women visited the tomb and they found it empty. And now we're going to think about the evening of that same day. That's when that reading we've just read was said. The disciples were full of sadness, confusion, and fear. One minute Jesus had been there, and then just he was gone. They'd heard rumors that Jesus had risen, but they hadn't seen him. And they were practical, rational men, and would put the supposed sightings down to delusions of grief. Jesus had died, and therefore was still dead. Dead. How had they been so wrong about him? He'd seemed different from everyone else, so much so that they'd given up everything to follow him. But now this, what would become of them? After all, Jesus and they, as his followers, had succeeded in winding up the economic, the political, the social, and the spiritual leaders, as well as inciting the base nature of the rabble. Those hounds, they would soon have their scent and be baying for blood. So, with the night coming, the frightened disciples sought a safe place, huddled together, and locked themselves in a room. And bam, Jesus just comes and stands amongst them. That's not normal. Can you imagine how terrified those disciples must have been? I wonder how long it took them to process just what they were seeing. You know, was the grief playing tricks on them? Were their eyes playing tricks on them? You can imagine them kind of looking around the room, can't you, to see if others were seeing quite the same thing that they were seeing. Let's take a fresh look at what the risen Christ does. One, the doors were locked. Jesus didn't even knock or turn the handle to open the door. He was simply there in their midst. And verse 20 says he showed them his hands and his side. Jesus still bears the marks, the wounds of the crucifixion. It is the Lord Jesus. It's not some ghost. A ghost doesn't have flesh and bones. The risen Jesus has a physical body, but it's not quite like ours. It's the same, but somehow different. Jesus was simply able to be there in spite of the closed doors. And that's important because it means that today in your life, Jesus can reach the parts that others can't reach. He can go to the depths of your soul where no doctor, no minister, no counselor, no husband or wife can ever reach. He can reach you. However deep your pit, however dark your night, however far you have fled from his presence or wandered away from him, he can reach you anytime, any place, anywhere, anywhen. Because there is no place, no condition, no situation that the risen Jesus cannot infuse with his love, his power, and his wisdom. And Jesus' resurrection from the dead means that he is not just alive, but that he is like no one else alive. We cannot begin to even comprehend what Jesus is capable of. Our risen Saviour is fully human and fully divine. And so, however complex and tangled the plot of your life has been, however tough your current battles may be, Jesus would say to you today, I am here with you. See my hands and my side. It was for such as this I died. I'm here in my risen power. Reach out and touch me. So the doors were locked. Number two, they were afraid. Verse 19 says that the doors were locked for fear. And I understand that fear, don't you? Jesus, their leader, has been crucified for being perceived as a threat to Caesar and to the Jews. So the disciples, they go into siege mode. They turn inwards. They put the barriers up. And we can all do that when we're frightened. Who can blame them? But Jesus comes and stands in their midst. And I think that it's in our fears that many of us meet with the risen Lord Jesus. Here's just a few fears that I could have from time to time. Fear that I will mess up and let God down. Fear that I won't be good enough to do what I've promised somebody I'll do. Fear that I will stuff up someone else's life. Fear that a sermon or a talk that I've been wrestling with for days just won't hit the spot. Fear that I won't step out and be all that God has created me to be. Fear that if I do step out, that I will make a hash of it and want to crawl back in my box. Fear of my past. Fear of my present. Fear of my future. Thankfully, it's all right. I don't get all of those in any one day. But I do get some of those from time to time. And I know that there are a lot of people here who can resonate with some of those. And this passage from John shows us that Jesus doesn't wait for us to get it all right. He doesn't wait for us to get our act together. He doesn't wait for us to have enough courage and faith to overcome all our fear. Instead, he comes to help us to get our act together, to give us the faith and the courage so that we can overcome our fear. He brings that courage, that boldness to the most fragile of people, if we'll let him. And there will be many of us here, I know, who can testify that in the depths of our deepest fears and anxiety, that Christ has heard us and met with us. When we truly seek him for who he is, he will answer. Fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed. I am your God. I will help you. It's Isaiah 41, verse 10. If you wait till you have everything all nice and sorted in your head before you step out with God, you will miss his best. Don't wait until all your ducks are in a row. Reach out and touch the risen Lord Jesus. He's overcome the world. I'm sure he can deal with your ducks. I'm sure he can deal with your situation. Let him bathe you in his perfect love as he emboldens and encourages you to be who he's calling you to be, to do what he's calling you to do. So the doors were locked, they were afraid, and three, Jesus comes to them and stands in their midst. Verse 19 says, the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, and Jesus came and stood amongst them. He came smack bang into their midst. He didn't stand outside the room and call through the wall. He didn't tap some kind of Morse code message on the outside to see if they could understand. He was not playing games. Jesus was deadly serious. He wanted them to truly see him, to know him, to truly believe in him, to receive the love that he longed to give. He wanted to be in the center of their lives. And that's what he wants for each of us here today. He doesn't want to play games with us or mess about on the periphery of our life. He wants to be in the very center so that we can really experience his risen power in our lives. He wants us to see him, to know him, to truly believe, to receive his incomprehensible love. And he wants you to let him draw near. To let him go where no one else can go. To bring his light, life, and love to your places of shame. Into the broken place where you'd be too hurt or sad for others to see. Into the disorganized places where nothing makes sense, so you close the door so that you can't see it and neither can anyone else. Christ doesn't want to stand on the periphery and simply rearrange a few bits and pieces in your life. He wants to come and stand right in the middle of it all. Love, so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Will you let him be the center this Easter? There's the song, Jesus be the center, be my source, be my light, Jesus. Jesus be the center, be my hope, be my song, Jesus. Be the fire in my heart, be the wind in these sails, be the reason that I live, Jesus. Jesus be my vision, be my path. Be my guide. Jesus. Will you let him be the centre this Easter? So we've taken a look at what the risen Jesus does. The doors were locked, they were afraid, and Jesus comes to them and stands in their midst. Let's have a look and see what he says. Our text tells us, "Peace be with you." And then he showed them his hands and his sides. And the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And then Jesus said them to them again, as if to underline its importance. Peace be with you. He offers three things. Peace with God. Peace with others. And peace with ourselves. Let's just look at those in turn. Peace with God. He can offer peace to the disciples, to you and to me, because the punishment that you and I deserved has been turned away. Christ's blood has covered all our sins, all of them, no matter how far we've pushed the boundaries or gone right outside them. And the debt we owe has been soaked right up on that bloodstained cross. The price has been paid, and you and I can be reconciled with God. How good is that? He has done it all. Thank God. And you and I can have peace with God. Will you accept the peace he offers? Secondly, peace with others. Not only do we have peace vertically with God through the cross, but we have peace horizontally with others through the cross. There is a radical equality of personhood in this new kingdom of God. That is good news. One faith, one baptism, one Lord. In the new creation, there will be, as I said yesterday, Good Friday, to those standing around the cross at the bandstand, there will be an end to racism, to elitism, to classism, to people being put down because of their gender. For as Galatians 3:28 says, all are one in Christ Jesus. That doesn't mean we might not be different, but all are equal in Christ Jesus before the Lord. This is the work of Christ on the cross. And it's utterly awesome. And perhaps you know that you are reconciled to God because he has forgiven you. But you find it harder to be reconciled within yourself. Your life may be fragmented, compartmentalized, and sometimes your past seems to be at war with your present, with your future. Perhaps you're worn down by the weight of a guilty conscience, of things that you cannot forgive yourself for. That's why Jesus died. That's what Good Friday is for. And because of the cross, we can make peace with ourselves. Well, God can help us make peace with ourselves. And that means that there is release from the grip of past sins and mistakes, from the chains that hold you back from being free in Christ. And the pain may linger still where the chains once bound, but healing is possible. And you can move to new hope in Christ. For the chains have been cut. The price has been paid. The cross is about forgiveness of sins, about our reconciliation to God, to one another, and to ourselves. But you know what? It's much bigger than that. For Christ not only paid the price for you, for your sin and for my sin, but he's overcome all sin. He's overcome death. He's overcome shame. He's overcome evil because he wears the victor's crown. He has overcome the world. For through Christ, God would reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Colossians 1:19-20. Christ's resurrection heralded the start of a new day, heralded the inauguration of a new king whose kingdom is guaranteed and whose kingdom will one day come in all its fullness. And perhaps you've never accepted Jesus as Lord of your life. And if that's the case, I would urge you to turn to him, to ask him to be Lord of your life today and to accept his gift of peace, his gift of reconciliation. Claim the power of the cross over your life. And if you want to find out more, talk to members here about the difference he's made in their lives. Perhaps you accepted Jesus as Lord of your life in the past, but you feel that he is no longer at the center. Ask him to come and stand in the midst of your life to bring his light, love, vitality to every part, even the locked rooms. And we pretty much all do battle with Christ for sovereignty of our lives, don't we, in some part of our lives? We want to be in control. We want to set the course and trajectory of our lives. But friends, while we're claiming territory for ourselves, while we're preventing God from claiming what he says is mine, he cannot fully establish his peace within our lives. This Easter, let's stop fighting God for territory. Stop wrestling over this and that in our lives. Stop trying to get our ducks in a row and give them over to him. Choose the way of peace this Easter. And this gift of peace is foundational. Our text says, Jesus came and stood amongst them and said, peace be with you. And then it goes on to say that Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. Then he says, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Do you notice how he starts with sending them his peace? He starts by giving his peace. Only then does he send them into mission to give them that purpose by saying, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. And then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So they had the necessary power to join in with his mission. Without a foundation of peace, without being right with God, having him at the center, without that foundation, all our efforts at mission will eventually crumble and sink under their own weight. And until we learn to rest in Christ, until we learn to abide in him, we won't know what it means to be a people of power, emboldened, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And I want us to be a people of power, don't you? Wouldn't it be great if SWEC could be, South Woodham Evangelical Church, could become known as a powerhouse for the kingdom of God? Well, you know what each of us has to do. We've just been talking about it. Until we learn to rest in Christ, until we learn to abide in him, we won't know either what it means to be a people of purpose, a people of mission. I want us to be a people of purpose, stepping out into God's mission, don't you? Wouldn't it be great if SWEC became known as a bunch of people advancing his purposes in this community and in the world? You know what each of us has to do. Wouldn't it be great? What are you going to do about it? What am I going to do about it? I know what I'm going to do, or try and do. I'm going to ask Jesus to be at the very center of my life each and every day and ask him to help me to accept his peace, the peace he offered at the cross. Ask Jesus to help me to see people the way he sees people. Ask Jesus to help me be at peace with him, with others, and with myself. And this Easter, I want us all to know peace with God, peace with one another, and peace with ourselves. I want us all to know what it means to be a people of purpose, of mission, and a people of power. Jesus, help us accept your offer of peace. This is the power of the cross. Let's remain seated as we prayerfully listen to the next song and let it minister to us.